Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, hear from one of our special guest speakers.
Well, good morning, My City Church. Today's a special day. We're kicking off a new series called The Signature of God. How many believe that God wants to put his signature on your life? Signature of blessing, signature of favor. And today I get an awesome opportunity to introduce a new friend. He's a friend of our global family, but incredible, best-selling author, coaches Fortune 500 companies, an amazing speaker, but more importantly, is a Holy Spirit-filled minister. And you are going to love him. We are becoming great friends. And can we stand to our feet and give a massive round of applause for Pastor Rex Crane as he comes out here to the stage looking good, looking handsome.
Good morning. How you all feeling? You got any energy still? I know it's a little cold outside. Before you sit down, shake hands with two or three people. Tell them you look better than the last time I saw you. Tell them you look thinner, less wrinkles. You may be seated. You're not going to like today. You're going to love today. Something good's going to happen for your life. How many of you came like needing something good to happen? Some of you. The rest of you are just like, whatever. Give me a good Sunday morning. I want to give a massive shout out to our pastors, Pastor Jesse and Angela. Come on, raising the bar, teaching us how to live the Jesus life, the Jesus style. I think there's great when God brings heroes into your life. They decide your energy, your endurance, and experience. I don't got time to teach that today. But the people that are closest in your life, your destiny's tied to them. And they can either further you or they can fondle you. And I like that our pastors, they further us. Come on. They want to push our influence forward. I also want to give a big old shout out to the worship team. Why don't we give our band, come on, give them some love, y'all. And I do want to give, when I drove in today, you know, speaking now, this is my 23rd year. I don't look like it. Come on, I'm only 30 years old. Thank you. I love you. No plastic surgery, by the way, in case you're wondering. But I want to give a big shout out to all the sound technicians and the people that are ushers, people that are busting our butt for our kids, people that are outside in the freezing cold with sweatshirts on. Why don't we give them a big old clap and make sure you give them some love when you walk out of here today. I love that commitment to God and his house, that people would make a difference. Those are heroes to me. Why don't we give them a loud clap for a minute? Come on. All right. My name is Rex. I come from California. I don't know if that's a good thing or not right now. But I do have a friend here, Eric Rafferty and Lisa Rafferty. Where are you? Eric and Lisa, stand up. They're new to the Nebraska community. Some of the most gifted, loving human beings on the planet. Their kids are scary gifted, and I'm really grateful that you're my friend. We've been friends for over 20 years. Come on, we met when we were like five, I think that's true, something like that. But I'm really grateful for your friendship. You both have made a difference. I've called upon you and said, can you take on certain things and help other people that are going through setbacks? And you guys just rise to the occasion and you leave a God impression. Give them a big old clap, my friends. All right, here we go. If you got your Bible, come on, get it out. If you use your phone, whatever. We're gonna go to the right-hand side of the Bible, John chapter 5. This is going to be good. In 1953, before I read the scripture here, there was a man by the name of Edmund Hillary. Edmund Hillary wanted to be the first guy to climb Mount Everest. Nobody ever surmounted that obstacle before. After many unsuccessful attempts, he went up and he was only a couple hundred feet within victory. And because of breathing and some challenges he had to return back. Have you ever had that? You destined to go one place and he didn't quite get there. He came down with Tan Zing, his climbing partner. Thank you, by the way. You're awesome. We'll go ahead and just stop just for a little bit so I can, there you go. Perfect. Awesome, but I'm going to need you in a minute, so watch. Promise, I'll need you. Tan Zing comes down with him. Watch, all eyes on me. And Edmund said this. He says, Tan Zing, stand here. I need to have a conversation with this mountain. He goes, you realize a mountain can't talk back. He goes, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. So Edmund Hillary shouts out. He said, Everest, today you've beaten me. That's true. You kicked my butt. You conquered me today. I'll concede to that. But I got a word for you. The reality is you can't get any bigger, but I can and I will. Someone say, I can. No, say like you got energy. Come on, my city. I can and I will. He went and made a couple small shifts, and a couple small shifts made a massive difference. Today, it doesn't take a million ideas to change your life. But one idea, one word from God that you're willing to adopt and act on. I know you don't want to cheat yourself getting out of those covers this morning when it's cold. If you're here, if all you do is listen, you're only going to retain 8% in the next 4 weeks. That's cheating yourself. If you take notes, you'll retain 38 to 42%. But if you engage and you interact, you'll retain 92%. Maybe that's why every miracle Jesus did, he put people into an active state. So this morning, come on, we're going to work. Come on, somebody. You're going to like it. Come on, give me some credit. I'm a speaker in churches on Sunday, but with Tony Robbins during the week. So we got a lot of combination. John chapter 5, it goes a little something like this. After this, there was a feast or celebration of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's in Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool there that's called Bethesda. Someone say Bethesda. Just so you know, it means house of grace or place of outpouring. That's what the word means. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, some blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel would go down at a certain season. Someone say season. Into the pool and stir up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. There was a certain man who had been sick for 38 years. Some would say a long time. In other words, his pain was both past, but it was also present. Come on, somebody. The Amplified Bible says a deep-seated lingering disorder. Come on, you ever have something that's chronic, it just don't go away? Come on, one step forward, two steps back. You ever feel like that? Come on, maybe in our families. Jesus saw him lying there and knowing he had been in that condition a long time and goes, yo, do you want to be made well? That's in the ghetto translation. Come on. Not in the King James. Yo, do you want to get well? Or what it says in the Greek language, are you determined and have an earnestness at all costs to get well, to make wellness your reality? Touch the person next to you, say, do you want to get well? The sick man goes, sir, I have no man. That when the waters all stood up, no man to put me into that pool. But while I'm trying to get down there, someone gets in there before me. In other words, I miss my moment. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Someone say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man took up his bed and walked and became whole. The same day was the Sabbath. You're going to like, oh, this is going to be good. Give me 1 second. I feel more comfortable. So here it is. Jesus shows up at a celebration. Jesus always came from a happy place. If you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which a mentor of mine, Tim, used to tell me to do from the beginning of my relationship with Christianity, he said, you'll notice the patterns of God. He was always showing up at parties. Come on, somebody. He made a party at Matthew's house. He made a party at Lazarus's house. He made a party at Peter's house. Wherever Jesus showed up, he's turning wine and water into wine for drunk people. I put a Cana of Galilee at the wedding. That will shatter a lot of religious ideas. Jesus showed up at the celebration of life, and most of us should show up at the celebration of life. But most people aren't feeling the celebration and elation because of exhaustion. We're exhausted by regret, manipulated by memories of what we could have done, should have done, that we never did. Come on. Where we start to buy in that our past equals our future and our biography equals our destiny. I got news for you in God's realm. Come on, somebody, watch out. Because repentance or a change of mind always precedes revival, that your biography doesn't equal your destiny, but your psychology does. In other words, I can get a new thought process, a new belief system. Come on. Other people are sitting there not enjoying it because of resentment. They're bitter at things. Life hit them. They hold on to the hurt rather than they release it. Come on. But most of us get stuck in routine where our comfort replaces our calling. Our apathy to addiction, come on somebody, of just this addiction apathy where I'm just going to be okay. There's a four-letter F word that keeps screwing your life up more than anything else. It's the F word called fine. Hey, how are you? I'm fine. How's your relationship with God? Fine. Come on somebody. How's your health? It's fine. How's your relational, you know, with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Hey, fine. How's your money? Fine. In other words, it's not painful enough for you to do something about it, but it's not great enough for you to celebrate it. So you're stuck living a life screwed by the four-letter F word called pain. Called fine. Fine people get pain. When the pain of staying the same is stronger than the pain of change, you have breakthrough at your door. That's a great nugget right there. I'd buy my own CD if we still had CDs. When the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, your breakthrough is at hand. Come on. Because when you get hungrier than you currently are, things shift. If I took you to the Africa jungle where I do a lot of work there with children with AIDS, and I go on safari, I went one time on a safari and there we came across lions. I wanted to see like the National Geographic. I wanted to see the lion eat the zebra. I want to see a lion get out of the grass and go eat, but I, you know, go tackle a zebra, go tackle an elephant. But what I found was lions are lazy during the day. They sleep 16, 80, 18 hours a day. And I asked the guy, what's going on? Oh, in the jungle, the lion is a lazy creature. He sleeps 16 hours a day. I go, well, what happens at night? He goes, he gets hungry. During the day, the elephant's the king of the jungle. But a smaller animal, his hunger emerges. And when he does, he gets out of the grass. He rises in the atmosphere of the whole entire jungle, becomes electric and charged. The water buffalo watches the lion. Come on. Even though he's bigger, the elephant watches. Come on, the lion. Even though the elephant's bigger, because the hunger inside of this animal refuses to sit there but to take charge of that jungle. Well, your life shifts when you get a little hungrier than you currently are. Jesus said, blessed are the hungry. They shall be filled. But most of us become tame, domesticated. I give a little to the church. I give a little to God. I give a little to myself. Come on. How are you? I'm fine. But life shifts when you get hungry. Jesus showed up at the celebration. So should you. How do I celebrate? Because I don't think anything's more important right now. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, I got to find a way to tap into that. There's a reason what the devil's after. He's after your joy. John 16, 22, Jesus said, let no man take your joy. In other words, only you and I can give it away. Have you ever felt that in your life? You give it away by blaming. Come on. And complaining. Come on. Blaming brings bondage, and you only complain about stuff you can do something about but have chosen not to. Come on. I heard nobody complain about gravity this morning. I saw nobody on the 84 curse out gravity. You stupid. Come on, nobody did that on the ground. It's just a fact of life. You only complain about something you can change and do something about, but you've chosen not to. But for you to enjoy right now, you got to make a decision. A decision, not like I'll try, I'd like to. I should enjoy my life more. Come on. You probably got a big should list in your life. I should enjoy my life more. I should pray more. I should be more loving. I should be more kind. I should give more than, come on, 4% and call it tithing. Come on, somebody. I should, and you should all over yourself. I didn't cuss. The difference in my life and your life is our shoulds versus your must. Jesus didn't say, I should go to the cross. I should work the works of God. I should be about my Father's business. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He did not wait for conditions to determine his decisions of how he was going to live and engage and how he was going to show up and live out his assignment on the planet.
when you make a decision that I'm going to enjoy my life and not wait to see how you feel when you wake up in the morning, come on, to let your feelings dictate your mood. Let me break you free for a minute. You're never what you feel. You're always what you decide. Look at me for a minute. This can break you out of a funk no matter if you feel, how many know you can feel happy, angry, depressed, horny all in about 2 minutes? Are those human emotions? You just all thought it was funny because I said horny. Come on, somebody. But somebody did something to get you here. Come on, somebody. You weren't a virgin birth. Things change when you make a decision. The word decision comes from incision, to cut. You're cutting away. I'm committed to enjoying my life. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20. I'm going bound to Jerusalem, knowing that when I go there in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be beat, put in prison. They're going to stone me. But none of these things move me. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to live out my calling. But this is how I'm going to live it out. I'm going to live it out with joy. I'm going to live it out with passion. No matter what comes at me, whether it's COVID, come on, political season, riot season, I'm going to enjoy my life, and the devil can do nothing about it. You want to make the devil mad where he does not own you? Just say, regardless if I'm down, if I'm deficient in funds, my relationship's stale, I choose to enjoy my life. God gave me life and I choose it. When you get more grateful, that changes. Psalm 67, 5 through 7 says, as they gave thanks and praise, God released increase. If you'll know, Jesus is pattern for all that embrace the life of the impossible. He never said, God, please come through. I don't want to look stupid out here. I need to turn water into wine, multiply food. Come on. Lazarus, my friend's dead. He said, thank you, and he commanded. Thank you, and he commanded. Could it be that most of our prayers are driven out of anxiety, not anticipation? Therefore, they're frustrated. You okay with this juice? I know it's early. Come on. What about if I gave you a 7-day challenge? For the next 7 days, don't ask God for one thing. Bet you can't do it. I haven't been able to do it in a bunch of years. I try. Thank God for who he is. Who is he? He's your healer. He's your victory. Maybe he's your way out. Maybe he broke you out of an addiction. He's your deliverer. Thank God for who he is and what he's done in your life. Come on, go through the Rolodex, come on, of your history and see how he protected you. He preserved you. He brought someone along your path to hold you up. He brought a church along your path to build Jesus into you. Come on, somebody. But thank God for what you're expecting him to do. Anticipation's power. There's also power in numbers. When you get around each other, you can do things you can't do. Come on. You multiply your resources. The top 10% happiest people on the planet, according to Harvard, are people who have social relationships built on purpose in God. You're wired for connection. Don't isolate yourself from your hope. Don't look for the exit strategy. Find the connection strategy. Because you get better faster, you bounce back from disappointment, setbacks, sickness, and you multiply your resources through partnership. If you walk with a wise man, you become wise. If you walk with a wise woman, you become wise. Come on, help me with this thing. You walk out with a fool, come on, your life unravels. Pedro Harris wanted to run the New York Marathon. It was powerful. The challenge was he's blind. It's kind of tough for a blind guy to run 26 miles. He partnered with a guy that was deaf, and what they did was they put a rubber band between their arms, and when they wanted to communicate, they pulled a certain way. What they were not able to do individually, they were able to do collectively. When you get around other people, joy rubs off. It's a Hebrew word, the mashiach, it's a rubbing off. You get around people that are happy, it shifts your atmosphere. And if you really wanted to celebrate right now, throw your whole city off. Just smile. I'll give you a real prophetic word for you to do if you want one. Practice smiling for an hour a day. For one, you'll boost your metabolism and your immune system, and you need it. You'll actually lose weight smiling for 15 minutes a day straight. You got 82 muscles in your face. Most of you don't flex. You just flinch. You didn't know this was going to be a science project. Oh, my gosh. You want us to go to the Starbucks, go to the coffee shop. You smile. This morning, we were sitting there, and I walked into my, go get some breakfast downstairs, and all of my city guys were, they didn't know who I was. They were all packing up, doing children's church at 6:30 in the morning. I was like so inspired by these guys. They're up in their big old hoodies, and they're just doing the Jesus thing. It was so awesome. But I walked in there smiling. Our waitress comes over to Mikhail and I, who travels with me, and she goes, you guys are just like happy people. Like, what's on you? Like, did you have something? She goes, did you go out last night or something? I go, oh my gosh, I'm just in a good mood. Not everything in my life is good, but I'm in a good mood. I decided to be. She goes, I need help. We sat there, started ministering. She starts crying. The power of God hit this woman at our table. Starts weeping and crying, all from just smiling and being in a good mood. Do you know the scripture says over 54 times God references your countenance? He doesn't put it in there just right. He references how you hold your face. Come on. Throw your family off at Thanksgiving. Even when Rudy comes in and he's depressed and negative. Come on. Martha comes in and she's all worried. Come on. How are you? Fine. You don't look fine. Yes, I am fine. But don't you know about COVID and all the political unrest? I'm still fine. So watch. This pool was known for its miracle activity, its ability to release grace. It had a promise, but for promise to become potential, it had to be stirred. Water not stirred is murky, smelly, and moldy. It's toxic. Mosquitoes are the biggest killer in the world. They're bred in stagnant waters. If you were to give yourself a test, are you stirred or are you stagnant spiritually? If you were to look at your life from a high-end coach or from a God's eye view, would he see you stirred or stagnant as a lover? Stirred or stagnant as a dreamer? Oh, let's just go there. Because there's power in your dreams. Your dreams are where the future is created and fueled. God is a dreamer. He is a creator. He gave you the ability, a gift to imagine so you don't live controlled by what you currently see. Sight's the function of your eyes, but vision's a function of your heart. God gave you the gift of vision so you don't live controlled by what you currently see. God's highly interested in what you're imagining and dreaming and seeing with your spiritual eyes. Seven times in scripture, God comes to people and say, what do you envision with your eyes? Not what you see and look at, but come on. Eyes that see, eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. Jesus said you must be born again so you can see the reality of the kingdom. He got Abraham to come out of his tent already after he's rich in silver, gold, and livestock. He said, look at the stars, Genesis 15. Whatever you can see, I'm going to give you. There was an expanse of stars. Could you imagine the richest dude on the planet? He's coming out from watching a Jerusalem idol, and he's laying there in the middle of, come on, the dirt, a man in rich robes, and God says, start counting stars. Could you imagine 1, 2, 3? God, there's too many. No. I said to count, Abraham. 5, 6, 7, 18. I feel so stupid, God. He goes, I want to show you because what you see, you can have. That's about to become your life. There's power in your dreams. Are your dreams a memorial to what was? What could have been or what can be? Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. The scripture says sense what's vital about your life and of real value. Imagine it. Give yourself to that. Paul told Timothy, give yourself to the imagination of the gift and the dream that you have. If I was to question some of your dreams and last projects, would they be on a shelf? Would they talk highly of you? Or they say you started or just left them there in the imagination stage? If the dreamer and you could talk, would the dreamer say it's been hard watching you settle for less and less? Working a job beneath your talent, letting other people define your roles and how you live and engage? Letting disappointment talk you out of dreaming again because you don't want to be disappointed again? Have you fallen into 63% of Americans who believe their best days are behind them and they're powerless to create their future? Even though the scripture says God gives you a spirit of power. Touch the person next to you, say God gave you a spirit of power. There's power in your dreams. Watch. Dreams motivated the Wright brothers to fly. Motivated Stevie Wonder to sing. Stevie Wonder's a great story. You know, when 7 years old, he asked his mother, why am I born blind? She said, because we're cursed by God. He goes, oh, mama, we ain't cursed by God. Come on. She said, something happened to our family. And she told a seven-year-old this. A couple days later, he was at Billy's barn next door, and he stumbled upon a rock, and he put his hands out to grasp whatever he could to hold himself up. When he did, he hit broken keys of a piano. And when he did, all these sounds went up, and he started yelling, I can see, I can see. Billy ran out of the barn, left him by himself. The blind kid, Stevie, ran all the way home. He runs home and he goes, mama, 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 we ain't cursed no more. I can see, I can see. She said, what are you talking about, Stevie? He said, I can see, I can see. She goes, you can't see my skin. You can't see my hands. What are you talking about? I was at Billy's and I stumbled and I hit this thing and there were sounds. And when the sounds went off, there's all these people and they all different colors. And when I make sounds, mama, they were all happy. She says, I see I'm going to make sounds and I'm going to make people happy and people are going to feel good. She said, but you don't see my hands. You don't see. No, mama. I don't see with my outer eyes. I see with my inner eyes. One of the greatest gifts you have when you're in the presence of God is you learn things that go beyond your intellect. When you worship him, things you start to look. Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. There's downloads where God wants to give you ideas. Come on. Who you can become, what you can give, what you can create. If you don't have dreams to move you forward, come on, you're in a slow death backwards. You become a forward person stuck on backward thoughts. What about the lover inside you? You put walls up between you and love. Come on. You've exchanged love for lust because lust takes, love gives. Do you evaluate your relationships by what have you done for me lately? Ooh, yeah. Little Janet Jackson in our midst. Do you look at what am I getting or what am I giving? Come on. Love gives and it forgives. Come on. It releases people. I know the enemy, my friend Larry Lee said this. He says, the enemy wants you to nurse it, to curse it, and rehearse it. So that, watch, you never disperse it so God can reverse it. That came from my friend Larry Lee many, many years ago in the early 80s. And he says the truth, because the enemy wants you to hold on to hurt rather than release it so that he can keep the lover inside you stagnant and God can't release. Because the greatest part of you is not the dreamer. The greatest part of you is a lover. Come on. Somebody's starving for your love today. Somebody's looking for you. Somebody's craving your touch. Somebody's craving your encouragement, because the people that are around us only rise to our level of confession. Love begins with me and you. Come on, someone say, love begins with me. Come on, love begins with me. What about the believer? Come on. All breakthroughs begin with a change of beliefs. Beliefs guide us to conclusion. They determine our generosity of time, talent, energy. If I was to help you in beliefs for a minute, think about this. As a man thinks in his heart, your capability is constant, but how much of it used depends on what you believe. An African impala can jump 32 feet long, 11 feet high with a burst of urgency. You put a 4-foot fence around it, it will run around and chase its tail and squeal. It has the capability easily surmounted, but it tells itself a story that if I jump, I'm going to get pain. What's the story that you tell yourself that keeps you stagnant as a believer? I've never met so many unbelieving believers in the last 9 months. They've ditched their faith because they put their faith in feelings rather than the word of the living God. The devil, only hold that he has is to take this word out of your heart and out of your mouth. I want to challenge you, whether you're a new believer and you're just getting the word of God in you, or you've been a believer for a while, go back and get these promises. Get them back inside you and say, it is written. It is written. God shall supply all my needs. It is written. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken my body. It is written. I got a sound mind. It is written. The peace of God rules in my heart and mind. As long as the enemy keeps you in the realm of your senses and your feelings, he can whoop you. Because you're called to live by faith, not by how you feel. Oh, I'm good. Thank you so much. You're awesome. Love you. Watch. Let me help you master this for a minute, your belief system for a minute. Life is, people are, I am. Let's master the metaphor. What is life for you? If it's a race, oh my gosh, you're busy. You're rushing. You talk to people all the time. You're in the coffee shop. How are you? I'm busy. How's life? I'm busy. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just busy. In fact, most people live out of states of emergency, not execution. Therefore, they don't live excellent. I could park right there. Holy schmoly. I'm preaching my own self. Come on. Why? Because God's challenging us to be the most excellent people on the planet. Not by just our confession, but how we live. Integrity and honor, showing up, calling back. Come on, somebody. Love first. Come on. Dream big. Showing up. Working our life. Watch how powerful. Watch about life is, if it's a battle, ooh, you're looking for what's wrong and you're ready to fight. This is where most Americans are right now, as most Christians. They watch their side of the news. They watch their side of the gram. Come on, somebody. They're on the Facebook. They're on the blue side. They're on the red side. Come on. And looking for a fight. It's an inferior battle that you're called to fight. You're a part of a kingdom and you're just passing through the world. Don't fight the wrong battle. Look at me for a minute. I'm being truthful. I'm working on a project with the president. That doesn't mean I'm for all the stuff that he's for. I'm working on stuff. But don't get caught fighting the right battle. You serve a king, not a president, not a left side, not a red side, not a blue side. You serve a king. One man, his name's Jesus. Come on, give him a clap and a shout up in here. You got 7 more minutes of this juice. Let's go. Come on. You serve a Jesus. Come on, he's every color. He's every nationality. Come on, we're made in his image. Be careful how you treat the Holy Spirit in people. Don't be flippant. Come on. Just because they didn't come from where you came from, they don't look like how you look. Be careful how you treat the Holy Ghost and people. He watches to how you treat people. What if life's a sacred gift from this moment? Write that up with lipstick on your mirror. Write it in a marker. Life is a sacred gift. I choose to believe that. You don't live with the events, but what you choose to believe about those events. This could be an end or a beginning for somebody. Come on. You could be falling down or you could be getting up depending on your belief. I'm breaking down or I'm breaking through. I'm getting healthy or I'm going backwards in my health. I'm getting sobriety or I'm going back to addiction. Whatever you choose to believe. You with me? You're like, this is a lot of energy for 9 o'clock in the morning. For me too. Life is, people are. People are. They treasure, they trash. Depends how you treat them. God's only influence to people is through you. Come on. You're the fragrance. You're the model. How are you going to treat people? Put a 10 on everybody's head. Prejudge everybody. I prejudge you. I've already pre-profiled you. Come on, somebody. I've already decided before I ever show up, you got a 10 on your head. Therefore, you can't treat you like a 4. I don't care your background, what you're stuck in, even if it's ugly and dirty. I don't care if you're in a, come on, you're in a cell somewhere and you did something horrendous, or you're done something and you're in the middle of a psych ward. If I put a 10 on your head, I can't treat you like the world treats you. Jesus said they would know us by our love, not by our praise. How many feel like I could put a 10 on people's head? That might even take putting a 10 on people's head that are bosses that are funky and moody. Coworkers that, come on, their attitude sucks. Come on, you wish you had like a spray, you could just spray them frozen. Come on. Watch. Life is, people are, I am. I am. What follows your I am? The biggest common denominator of all this, whatever follows your I am will come looking for you. Jesus only spoke positive about himself. I am the resurrection life. He raised Lazarus from the dead. I am the bread of life. He multiplied loaves. Come on. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He became everything he said. We're after the Jesus pattern, right? What follows your I am? I'm big boned. If you're big boned, you probably ain't gonna lose the weight in your mind, because pounds will come, calories come looking for you. If you're old, even if you're 25 years old, I know 25-year-old old people. I'm old in my mind, oldness comes their way. I'm unlovable. So then every opportunity for someone to love you and you push them away and you think that they rejected you, but you rejected yourself. It's not who you are that holds you back, it's who you think you're not. That was worth your gas money right there. I came across a guy in the middle of Hollywood. I was walking and there's a guy who's smoking a joint and he was in a wheelchair. And I walked up to him with a friend. I was coaching a guy who's doing a movie with Bruce Willis. And we were walking just on the street, and my friend just ordered a piece of pizza. And we were walking, and we came up to this guy. He goes, I want to give him my pizza. I go, that's cool. So we walk over to the guy to give him a piece of pizza. And I go, hey, how you doing? My name's Rex. And he said his name, the actor. And he goes, I go, what's your name? He goes, I'm Eddie the Pothead. I go, did you just say that? You call yourself Eddie the Pothead? That's, well, I've always been a blankety blank mess up. I screw up. I'm just Eddie the Pothead. I go, do you like being Eddie the Pothead? Well, I don't know how to be anything else. I'm just Eddie the Pothead. He's smoking his joint. I go, you want some pizza? He goes, yeah, I'll have some pizza. He said, yeah, it's very nice of you. You know, very nice of you. I go, well, you look like you're in pain. He goes, yeah, you know, I smoked the weed just to help the pain a little bit. I've been a lot of pain on my back. I go, what if I heal you? Now, church would tell me, ooh, brother, who can you heal? He don't know God. He can't see God. The only Jesus he can see is the one in me. Peter told him at the gate of Beautiful, don't look to Jesus, such as I got. I give you. I got Jesus in me. Boom, such as I got. I'll give you an experience. Maybe our challenge is we're telling them to look for somebody they can't see rather than the God inside of your life that they can experience. He goes, you got special powers? I go, something like that. I go, I'm going to pray for you. He goes, do I have to put out my joint? I go, no. So I said by Hollywood High School, true story, I sat there, I go, Jesus, if you're anywhere around Hollywood High School, I ask that your power go into this guy and help Eddie the Pothead so he doesn't have to see he's Eddie the Pothead anymore. And he goes, I go, what do you feel? I didn't do anything. I said, do you sense anything? He goes, I feel this energy in my back. He goes, what are you doing to me? I go, why don't we try to stand in that energy? Okay. So he gets up, my friend's holding the pizza. He's a brand new believer. The pizza by this time, like the oil's falling off, it's become limp. You know what I'm saying? Starting to fall over. It was like a 10 minutes gone. He gets up, he goes, what happened to the blankety blank pain? I go, truthfully, I said, is this the joint or is this my prayers? I said, I only called on one God. I didn't call on Confucius. I didn't call on Allah. I didn't call on Buddha. I just asked one person. His name's Jesus. He tagged me. Now I want to tag you. Come on. He starts weeping and crying, and he starts walking. He goes, I don't have any pain. He's holding his joint. I don't got any pain. He's walking around. And he starts going. He goes, but what's happening in my soul? What's happening in my heart? I don't want to be Eddie the Pothead anymore. He starts weeping and crying. He goes, do I have to be Eddie the Pothead anymore? I go, no, you don't got to be Eddie the Pothead anymore. He goes, I don't want to be Eddie the Pothead anymore. He put out his own joint. He goes, I got it. I got him. I want him. I want this life. He goes, I got it. Thanks. I got it from here. And he walked away from Hollywood Boulevard, pushing his own wheelchair, going, I got this. Back in his sound mind, joint underneath, all from a shift in the way he saw himself. Now watch, I got 1 minute. Watch this. Jesus shows up and notices the guy. He beelines for him. These are 193-foot pool. It's massive. But Jesus goes and he knows that he's been in that condition a long time. Says, do you want to get well? Are you earnest? Do you got enough reasons? Do you have enough reasons why you're going to do better in the next 6 months than the last 6 months? Do you not have reasons why you're going to be closer to God? And if God seems far away, guess who moved? You're as close to God as you want to be. Do you got reasons why relationally you'll love more? If you don't got reasons, then when feelings attack you, you'll go back and you'll dabble but never master anything. Do you want to get well? I remember a girl real quickly. She was in a wheelchair, never stood before in her life, and I went to pray for her in Vancouver, and she goes, I feel like when you're talking, I got faith to stand up and try to do it. Never stood up in my life. And her mother goes, pray for her eyes, pray for her eyes. It's like, what the heck are you talking about? Your girl's in a wheelchair. She wants to try to get up, 18 years old. And I said, okay, I'm praying. In Jesus' name, be healed. And she goes, I want to try to get up. I go, let's go for it. I tried to get her up, but she's all jerky. We had to hold her. She didn't have the strength in her legs to hold her body. We were holding her. But can you imagine how God was just pleased with her faith? And her mother goes, pray for her eyes. Pray for her eyes. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about, woman? Pray for her eyes. Your daughter's standing. Shouldn't you be rejoicing? See, some people become so familiar with your style of life that when you begin to stand again, when you begin to stand up in who Jesus says you are in the Word of God, they're not going to be able to get you because you've outgrown them. Watch how powerful. She starts to take steps, and they weren't all clear. They weren't all fluid. Not like the woman I prayed for at Pastor Jurgen Leanne's, called her out of a crowd. They carried her in there with a doctor. They carried her physically in there. In the middle of my message, I saw these two fingers, like a vision of touching her. And I said, stand up. And I told her to run. She took off running in Pastor Jurgen's church. And the doctors were so frustrated that I made her run. She got completely healed. This woman was different. She was like all wobbly. And she goes, I did it. I did it. She got a victory. It was cool. And then she got her chair, and her mother goes, pray for her eyes. I was so frustrated. I said to the pastor, I go, what's the deal? He said, if she gets healed completely, her parents make $100,000 a year off her disability. She's so smart. They have a Mercedes. They have a house, everything paid for in Canada. And they have all these grants that come in that allow the parents not have to work because they make all their money based on her sickness. If she gets healed, they don't have anything to live on. Then they got to go get a job. If you get healed, things are going to change. The question is, do you want to get well? Jesus said, rise. Someone say rise. Some of you are going to stand up again spiritually, relationally, emotionally. Physically, come on. Take up your bed. That means discard something. You got to, what you're willing to walk away from determines what you walk into. And someone's going to step walk. Like this girl, you're going to start taking steps. Come on, today you're going to start taking steps. Steps towards something, not away from something. Close your eyes for a minute. If you need a new beginning, if you need things to be different in your life, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you a moment where you can rise again. Where that spirit of defeat is broken and the spirit of dominion comes back into your life. From the beginning, God created you to dominate, not to go through life, but to be fruitful and multiply. Maybe you lost it. Maybe you gave it away. Maybe there's been a spiritual attack on you. Maybe you've accepted the spirit of defeat, but God is ready to stimulate and stir you up and give you back a spirit of dominion in your life. If you want the spirit of dominion to come back in your life and the spirit of defeat, the spirit of sin, darkness to be broken in your life, I want you to lift your hands. Just lift a hand. Look at all those hands all over the place. I want every person right now just to lift your hands to heaven. Say, Jesus. Say it like he can hear you, like he's here. Say, Jesus, I feel you up in here. I need you. Come into my life, new and afresh. Cleanse me with your blood from all sin, from all evil. Break the spirit of defeat in my life. Break the spirit of defeat in my life. Restore dominion into my life. I command in Jesus' name the spirit of defeat to get off my mind, to get off my emotions, to get off my body, to get off my finances, to get off my family, and to get off my future. I am, someone say, I am the righteousness of God. I am forgiven. I am healed. Come on, somebody. And I am a child of God. And I am going from glory to glory to glory. My death days are in front of me. Come on, give the Lord a clap and a shout and worship him this morning.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.